Okay, after our after the break, when I was in Israel and Hanukkah, I hope everyone had a wonderful Hanukkah. We are back. We are back in the section that we've been learning in depth of Yeshayahu, Perek Mem through Mem Chet. This first section of the Nevuot HaGeulah, the Nevuot, the prophecies of redemption. And we've seen recurring themes over and over again, building up to a crescendo that we ended off 2 weeks ago, just to remind ourselves. And we've seen a couple of repetition of certain themes. And again, I emphasize, I think the reason why, first of all, like teenagers and like adults, you constantly need to be told the same thing in order to be able to ultimately stay with you. Number two, these nevuot were probably given at different times during the course of months, years, and were finally collected. Whoever the final editor of the book of Yeshayahu collected them and put them all by a topic and put them all together. And so you'll have repetitions and you'll have thematic comparisons and things like that. But on the other hand, there is one slight progression, which we crescendoed with 2 weeks. So that is that up until this point, it's been very, the prophecies have not mentioned a specific nation or a specific king or a specific situation. It's been clear that if these Nevuot, which I think, again, I agree, meaning going with Ibn Ezra, that these Nevuot are being given during the Tkufat Bayit Sheni, I'm sorry, the Tkufa of the exile of Bayit Rishon, between 586 and 515 BCE. If that's when these Nevuot are being given, in the 550s and the 540s, when there is the beginning of redemption and anticipating the downfall of Bavel, which will culminate in the downfall of Bavel and the ascendancy of the Persian Empire with Koresh. We have not yet explicitly mentioned Koresh until what we got to last week. So again, let me just put that on. Let's get our Tanakh on, and that's what we got to 2 weeks ago. I'm sorry. So if we get our Machon Mamre text on, so. Yeshayahu, the very conclusion of chapter 40, I'm sorry, the conclusion of chapter 44, which is what we completed in that very last section. So now let's go back to the Zoom and share more. Let's share. So what we saw last week. The conclusion, the very last part of the text, Ko Amar Hashem Goalecha V'Yotzrecha Mibaten. So God, who is going to redeem you and created you, Anochi Hashem Oseh Kol Notei Shamayim Levadi. I created the heavens. I stretched out the land, and I'm the one who brought down all of the kosmim, all of the magicians and all of the Avodah Zarah, Mekim Dvar Avdo, Vatzat Malachav Yashlim, he will fulfill the word of his servant. Ha'omer Lirushalayim Tushav, God who says Jerusalem will be once more inhabited, Ule'arei Yehuda Tivanena, the cities of Judah will be rebuilt, V'charvotea Komeim, I'm going to reestablish its destruction, all the places which have been destroyed. Ha'omer la tzula chorvi. Tzula is a fancy way of saying the word mitzulot. If you remember from Shirat Hayam, from the Song of the Sea, Yardu bimtzolot. Bimtzolot refers to the depths of the sea. So here you have an echo of God in two places. One at creation, God who turned the depths of the sea into dry land and said the water will go here and the land will go there. But it also is a reference to Yitziat Mitzrayim, to Kriyat Yamsuf, to the splitting of the sea. So God, who said, Latsula choravi, who said to the mitzulot, to the depths of the sea, you will become like dry land, chorava, v'naharotayich ovish, and I will dry up your rivers, ha'omer l'koresh ro'i. For the first time in the book, you have a statement about a specific king who says to Koresh, my shepherd, v'chol cheftzi yashlim, he, Koresh, will fulfill all of my desires. V'leimor l'Yerushalayim tibaneh, he will be the one who will declare to Jerusalem, you shall be rebuilt. V'heichal tivaseid, and not just Jerusalem, but the Beit HaMikdash. The Heichal is the term in the book, in Nach, especially in the book of Kings, for the, what we call the Beit HaMikdash, the inner sanctum, the Kodesh. V'heichal tivaseid, it shall be once again reestablished. Yesod, the foundation will be reestablished of the Heichal. This is a radical, can you imagine, on two levels. First of all, if you're sitting there in 550 BCE, the idea that Babylon would be destroyed by Koresh is probably not so clear. And so the prediction is, of course, a wild prediction. But number two, it is a radical theological statement, just like today, many Jews probably said to themselves, what? The redemption will come through Koresh? That's not the way it's supposed to be. The temple is supposed to come down, you know, from in fire from the heavens, like it says in the Midrash. Just like today, many people, you know, they want to, so to speak, tell God how God should play out history. This was probably a very radical shock to many people, especially given the fact that there had been many nevuot that spoke about that the redemption would be through the hand of a king of the descendant of David. Right? If you go back to the book, the first book of Yeshayahu in chapter 11, it talked about v'yatzachoter migeza Yishai, a sprout will come forth from the tree of Jesse, from the descendants of David. And here, the image that God uses of Koresh Ro'i, Koresh is my shepherd. That's a very powerful image. You have here echoes of Yitzhak Mitzrayim. Koresh is the shepherd, which has echoes of Moses. So instead of the Mashiach being a nice Jewish boy who, you know, Judah the Maccabee, is Koresh, a non-Jewish king. And not only that, it's very radical because up until this point, there has been statements here and there in the Bible. For example, in the first book of Yeshayahu, if you look, for example, during the Assyrian period, so Isaiah in, let's say, chapter 10, in chapter 10, Isaiah had a prophecy about the destruction of the 10 tribes and the destruction of Aram. And God said, Hoy Ashur Shevet Api, Umatehu Biyadam Za'ami. God had mentioned explicitly that he was using Assyria as the rod of my anger. Matehu biadam za'ami. My anger is through the staff of Assyria. And that Assyria is going to come and bring punishment on those who God wants to bring punishment. So that is a theme, a theological idea that does exist in previous parts of the Bible. But the radical idea that the redemption, not the punishment of other nations or even the punishment of Israel, would come through the hand of a foreign power, but the direct redemption. There is no mention here of a Jewish king. There is no mention of any of that. That's a radical statement. And now when we come back and we start chapter 45, which is what we're about to do, because we ended with chapter 44. When we start chapter 45, it goes even more intensely. Kol amar Hashem lemishicho lekoresh. Now the word Mashiach in biblical Hebrew does not have as much of the baggage that we today take the word Mashiach with. Mashiach literally means anointed one. In the Bible, the Kohen Gadol is anointed. In the Bible, the king is anointed. Solomon is anointed. Saul is anointed. When you anoint someone, you anoint them and consecrate them. But it's still a very powerful image. So Cyrus is not just, he's not just Roi. He's not just my shepherd. He's also, and here is a tremendous chiddush, he's also Mashiach, he is the king. He's the anointed one. Ko amar Hashem l'mishicho l'korsh asher hechezakti bimino. I have held his hand, which is a fascinating image. It's an image that is often used in the ancient Near Eastern world. We find it amongst many cultures, Assyrian and other cultures. The terminology of the God who accompanies the king. And here, it's being used by Hashem. I'm strengthening his right hand. Lirad lefanav goyim. To conquer goyim. Rad is like, redu ba'aretz v'chivshuha. To conquest. Umotnei melachim afateach. Motnei Melachim is a reference to their belt, which is a reference to the weapons. So God says, I speak to Mishicho Lekoresh, Asher Hechazakti Bimino Lerad Lefanav Goyim, Umotnei Melachim Afatech Liftoch Lefanav Delatayim, that the doors will be opened, Ushearim Lo Yisageru. Ani lefanecha eleich. I will go before you. V'hadurim ayasher. I'm gonna make everything straight. Daltot nechusha ashaber. Richei brazel agadei. I'm gonna destroy the gates of all these cities. V'natati lecha utzrot choshech umat manemis. Whatever they're hiding, I'm gonna give it to you. Leman teida ki ani Hashem akorei b'shimcha lo Israel. So the Bible here, interestingly enough, does not say because Koresh is such a tzaddik, or because Koresh is worthy, which is what it often says in many of the ancient Near Eastern texts, that the gods look favorably upon the king because the king is so righteous, because the king is so great, because the king is so worthy. But simply God says three things, three leman. All this is going to happen. Leman teida ki ani Hashem hakorei b'shimcha Elohei Yisrael, so that you will know that I am the Lord who called you. Number two, leman avdi Yaakov Yisrael b'chiri, in order to help out Jacob and Israel. Ve'ekra lecha b'shmecha achancha v'lo yida'atani. And number four, ani Hashem ve'ino du'lati ein olim azraka v'lo yida'atani. And finally, leman yedu mimizrach shemesh umimarava ki efes biladai ani Hashem veinod. I am the Lord. So there's three leman. Leman teida, Koresh, leman avdi Yaakov, and leman yedu. This, of course, once again, echoes the Exodus. Anybody who remembers Parshat Bo remembers, leman yedu ki ani Hashem bekerev haaretz. And God and Moses says to Pharaoh, Leman teida ki ein, God says, Leman teida ki ein kamoni bekerev haaretz. Who's supposed to learn? The Jewish people is supposed to learn. Paro is supposed to learn. And all of Egypt is supposed to learn. Leman teida, Leman teida, Leman teida ki ein Hashem bekerev haaretz. Which, of course, parenthetically, the flip side is that. That's why Moses' argument after Chet HaEgel can be so effective. That Moses says, One of Moses' arguments is the Egyptians are going to say that you killed them in the desert. It's going to be an undermining of the whole purpose of the Exodus. Laman teida ki ein Hashem. And so this is very much God is promising the redemption of Israel, and that God will be with Koresh, and he's going to open up the gates, etc. Now, I just want to take a moment here and compare this with what we call the Cyrus Cylinder, the famous Cyrus Cylinder, which is in the British Museum, which is written in Akkadian, but describes exactly what they found, describes what we would call the finding of the success of Cyrus. So let me see if I can pull it up. The Cyrus Cylinder, the text of the Cyrus Cylinder. Many of you must have read it at one time. Text of the Cyrus Cylinder. See if we can find it. Let's see if we can, let's see the wiki source. Okay. So let me come back here and let's share it. So this is from Wikitext, but again, you can find it in any good history book. So, of course, again, just to give us a little bit of background about ancient Avodah Zarah, the original gods, the chief god in the ancient world was, in this area of the world, was Enlil, but eventually he was replaced by Marduk, which is, of course, adopted. It was a Babylonian god, but the Babylonians, then it was inherited by the Persians and eventually made it into names like Mordechai. So Marduk is the king of the whole heaven of the earth, and he describes here what happened, that he brought in and et cetera, seeking for the upright king of his choice. He took the hand of Cyrus. Again, notice that image. Lahachzik biyado. Again, the Bible here is, I think, playing with certain tropes of the ancient Near East. Here, in the Cyrus Cylinder, Cyrus's hand is being taken by Marduk. Of course, in the Torah, it's in the Tanakh, it's Hashem who led Cyrus, not Marduk, and not Enlil, and not Bel, and not Nebo. He took the hand of Cyrus, king of the city of Anshan, and called him by his name. The same thing, Likro Bishmecha, I called you by your name, proclaiming him aloud for the kingship over all of everything. He made the land of Guti and the Median troops prostrate themselves, while he shepherded in justice and righteousness the black-headed people. Again, the description of Koresh is somebody who is righteous, and he has all these wonderful qualities. And then Marduk ordered him. Marduk, the great lord who nurtures his people, saw with pleasure his fine deeds and true heart. So Marduk looks down on Koresh and sees that Koresh is such a great guy. So he chooses Koresh, Cyrus, and ordered him to go to Babylon. He had him take the road to Babylon, and like a friend and companion, he walked at his side. He had him enter without fighting or battle right into Shuana. He saved his city Babylon from hardship. He handed over to him Nabonidus, the king who did not fear him. So in the description of the Cyrus Cylinder, again, the city is thrown open and given over to Cyrus. Cyrus. Okay? The Lord through whose help all were rescued from death and who saved them, etc. I am Cyrus, king of the universe, the great king, the powerful king, king of Babylon, king of Sumer, son of etc., etc., etc. And I found my sovereign residence, etc., etc. And my vast troops were marching peaceably in Babylon, and etc., etc. I took care of them, and he pronounced, etc. And okay, and this is what you have here in the Cyrus cylinder. So now when we come back to here, again, you have this echo here. I held his hand. It's God, not Enlil, it's not Marduk, to conquer all these lands. Liftoch lefanav delatayim, to open up the doors, usharim lo yisageru. Ani lefanecha ileich, I will go before you, just like it said, and I will open up and destroy all the gates, and I'm going to give you all the treasures. But it's the purpose is not because you're such a tzaddik. Leman teda ki ani Hashem akorei b'shimcha, I am the Lord who calls you by name. Not because you're a tzaddik, but because I want you to know, keni Hashem, I'm doing it leman avdi Yaakov. That's the reason why I'm doing it. And I'm doing it leman yeidu mimizrach shemesh u'ma'arava, so that all of the world's inhabitants, from the east to the west, will know that only God created everything. Yotzer or uvorei choshech, oseh shalom, uvorei ra. Ani Hashem oseh kol eila. Just want to make a parenthetical point. In some of the early scholarship on the book of Isaiah, there were those who wanted to claim that this pasuk is a polemic against Zoroastrianism, that believed in like a good God and a bad God, dualism, the God of light, the God of darkness, right? And therefore here God says, Yotzer or uvorei choshech, oseh shalom uvorei ra. He's the God who creates everything. It's possible, but today most of the scholars don't buy that because we have no evidence that Zoroastrianism as a religion, the way we know about it from later Persian sources, was really a religion at the time of Cyrus, that Cyrus practiced or anything like that. We have no indication from any of the evidence that this was something that was practiced by Cyrus. And it's a later Persian thing. So I just wanted to point that out. Okay, now we continue. And God speaks of, again, not the tzedek of Koresh, but that God is going to bring tzedek. And the word tzedek, as I think I've mentioned a couple of times, the word tzedek in the Bible has many connotations, especially in Nach. On the one hand, it has the connotation of righteousness. It also has the connotation of doing the proper thing. It also has the connotation of Yeshua, of redemption. And here too, you have all those connotations. Harifu shamayim mima'al, the heavens will come from above. Ushchakim yizlu tzedek, the clouds will rain down tzedek. Tiftach eretz v'yifru riesha. So you notice the parallel between Yesha, Yeshua, redemption, salvation, and Tzedakah. So this is probably, in this context, God is simply saying that it is God who is going to bring the redemption. It is not any other God. As he said before, Ani Hashem Oseh Kol Eile. And therefore, there should be no question, as there may have been, and this is the way that many read this section. As I mentioned, there is a theological conundrum that some people probably thought, What is the that this non-Israelite king is going to be the vehicle of redemption? Just like, you know, today, you know, Herzl, Ben-Gurion, that was the vehicle of God's redemption in the modern period to bring the Jewish people back to the land of Israel? What? People want to tell God how he should run the world. So here he says that. Hoy, woe, Ravet Yotzro, the person who fights with his creator. Cheres, the clay cheres, and Charsei Adama, who fight with those who make the clay cheres, who make the pottery. Hayomar Chomer Liotzro Matas. Does the chomer, the stuff that was made, turn to its creator and say, what shall you do? Upalcha ein yadayim lo, and turn to the one who made it and say, it has no hands, meaning you made an imperfect redemption? Who ever heard of such a thing? Hoy omer la'av matoli. Woe to those who turn to the father and say, what shall you give birth to? Uli isha matechilin. And turn to the woman and say, what are you bringing forth? Techilin comes from the language what we would call the pains of labor. Who said such a thing? Who can imagine such a thing? To tell the creator how he's supposed to create his things. Ko amar Hashem kidosh Yisrael v'yotzro. Ha'otiot sha'aluni al banai v'al poel yadai titzavuni. They're trying to command me how I'm supposed to do my job. Anochi asiti eretz v'adam alea barati. I am the one who created the world. Ani yadai natu shamayim. It is me who created the heavens. V'chol tzvam tziveti. I am the one who commanded the hosts of heaven. Anochi harotihu b'tzedek. I am the one who commanded and aroused Koresh b'tzedek to go and be my redemptive arm. V'chol drachav ayasher. Hu yivne iri v'galoti yishaleach. He's the one who will build my city, and he's the one who will let forth yishaleach, will spring, will release those who are in galut. Lo b'mechir v'lo b'shochad. He won't have to be paid. He won't have to be bribed. Amar Hashem Tzvakot. So says the Lord of hosts, the Lord of war. So this is a direct response, a theological response, to those who would question, how is it that God, you know, runs the world? And the answer is, God created the world, and he can decide how the redemption will come or not come. And now it continues. Ko amar Hashem. Again, the next section. Okay, every section starts with Ko amar Hashem. And here too, it started with, that was the first section. Ko amar Hashem. And now, Ko amar Hashem, Yigia Mitzrayim uschar Kush usvaim anshei midah. Three countries from Africa, Mitzrayim, Kush, and Svaim, alayich yavoru v'lachiyu. So Cyrus is going to continue, and he's going to receive the tribute from all these lands. Acharayich yelechu bazikim yavoru v'elayich ishtachavu elacha yitpalalu. Ach bach el ve'ein od, efes elokim. Achein ata el mistater Elohei Yisrael, Moshiach. You indeed are a hidden God. God is the Redemptor. Boshu v'gam nichlamu kulam. All of the Avodah Zarah and everybody else will be embarrassed. Yachdav halachu b'klima charashei tzirim. Yisrael nosha ba'adonai teshuat olamim. But Israel is redeemed. Lo tevoshu v'lo tikalmu ad omead. So the nations of the world, the Avodah Zarah of the world, they will be embarrassed. They will be humiliated. But God will redeem the Jewish people, and they will not be redeemed. They will not be humiliated. They will not be embarrassed forever and ever. And again, like I said, repetitive themes. Kiko Amar Hashem, the final part of this perek. Kiko Amar Hashem Borei Hashamayim, Hu Elohim Yotzer Haaretz Va'osa, Hu Chonina Lo Tohu Vra'a. He did not create it to remain Tohu Vavohu, but rather he had a plan, he had a mission, he had a goal. Lashevet Yitzara, to be settled. And so if God decides to resettle Jerusalem, that's what's going to happen. Lo baseter dibarti bimkom eretz choshech, lo amarti lezer Yaakov tohu bikshuni. Ani Hashem dover tzedek magid meisharim. I'm the one who says it straight. He kavtsu vavo hitnagshu yachdav plitei goyim. And now God calls them together. Once again, as we saw in a previous chapter, in chapter 43, and in other chapters, God calls them and puts them up to the bar and says, gather, and you, the plitei goyim, the remnants, okay, those who carry their avodah zarah, umitpalim el lo yoshia, which of course is the language that eventually becomes part of Aleinu in its original nusach, Hagidu vagishu, come and present your argument that your gods are better than Hashem, that your gods can tell the future. Again, the same things we saw. Is anybody predicted this before? Has anybody predicted that Koresh will come? Has anybody predicted that Assyria would come and destroy the 10 tribes? Anybody predicted that Jerusalem? Hello, ani Hashem ve'ein od Elohim biladai el tzadik u'moshia ein zulati. And therefore, pinu elai v'hivashu, turn to me and you will be redeemed. Call avse aretz ki ani el ve'ein od binishbati yatzami pi tzedaka davar v'lo yashu. Redemption is coming from my mouth. It will not be revoked. Kili tichra kol berach tishava kol lashon. This, of course, is incorporated into Aleinu, the vision that all of humanity and all of the idolaters who originally were carrying their avodah zarah and were davening el el lo yoshia, again, the original nusach of Aleinu before it was censored, before va'anachnu korim u'mishtachavim u'modim, was Shehem Mishtachavim Lahevel Velarik Umitpalalim El El Lo Yoshia, is taken straight from Isaiah. In the end, Kili Tichra Kol Berech, all knee shall bend to God, Tishava Kol Lashon, every language, every country, every nationality will pledge allegiance to God. Ach Bashem Li Amar Tzdakot Va'oz Adav Yavo V'Yevoshu Kol Hanecharimbo, all those who attack God. Bashem Yitzdeku V'Italu Kol Zer Yisrael. Israel will be redeemed and will praise God. This is chapter 45, very straight. Koresh, it's a peon to Koresh. It's a peon to Koresh in contrast to the cylinder. It's not the one who takes Koresh's hand is God. God is the one who brings the redemption through the hand of Koresh, for the purpose of threefold: Laman teida kini Hashem, Laman avdi Yaakov, and Laman yedu mimizrach shemesh u'maharava. Again, just like in the Exodus, and if those who are troubled by this pattern of redemption don't understand, God can do whatever He wants. He created the world. He runs the world. He runs the show. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu will bring Koresh to be successful against all of these nations, and all of the nations will eventually recognize God as the redeeming, the salvific God that brings forth the redemption of Israel. And those who want to challenge that, they can see that it's simply not happening. We now go to the next chapter, chapter 46, which is, again, a sharp polemic against the dominant Avodah Zarah in Babylon / Persia in the time of this time, this period of time between 580 and 537, the capture of Babylon by Cyrus. As I mentioned before, there were two major, the original god, the original chief god of the pantheon in the ancient Near East was Enlil, eventually who fought against Tiamat, and eventually Enlil is, so to speak, replaced by Marduk. Marduk has another name. Marduk, his other name is Bel, Bel, B-E-L. Bel is a form of the word Baal. Baal, of course, means master. Not to be confused with the storm, the Canaanite storm god Baal, but it's the same idea. It's the same idea. Baal, that's what they called the storm god, the Canaanites. But this is an Akkadian Sumerian god, the Babylonian god, who eventually comes to be called Bel. And that's why many of the kings of Babylon have names like Belshazzar, Belshazzar, who we find in Daniel and in other places. So that's one of the major gods. Bel has a firstborn son. His name is Nevo, or Nevu, which probably means something along the lines of he has come, or he has been brought. He is the firstborn son of Marduk, of Bel. And he shows up in all of the kings of, and many other characters in the Babylonian story. For example, we have a king named Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar, his first words, Nevu, is basically a theosophic name. Nevu Zadran, the chief officer of Nebuchadnezzar at the end of the book of Yirmiyahu. Nevu is a theosophic name. So now Isaiah takes them on directly. Kara Bel, nice little play on words. If you remember, if you look at the previous chapter, so this vision of the destruction of the idols ended with that all the idols, or maybe the people who worship the idols, Kili Tichra Kol Berech, all, every knee shall bend to God. Tishava Kol Lashon. Now, the Bible continues, and it says, Kara Bel, Bel will fall over and bend the knee. Kores Nevo, Nevo will be shattered, will crumble, krisa. Hayu atzabeim l'chayav l'beima. The idols, which represent the gods, will be either carried away, fleeing on top of animals, or will be eaten by the animals. Nisuotechem amusot. Their, you know, carriages are full. Masala ayefa. They're so heavy. They have to run away. All of the idols have been quickly packed away to run away. Karsu, karu yachdav, lo yuchlu maleit masa, v'nafsham bashevi halacha. They are going to be taken into captivity. So instead of the gods guiding the people, they're going to be taken into captivity. Okay? And in contrast, Shim'u Eli Beit Yaakov v'chol sherit Beit Yisrael ha'amusim, who carry a burden. Again, nice little play. The Jewish people are amusim. They have to carry burdens from their birth, mini beten. Ha'nisuim mini racham, who have had to carry the burden of exile since they were born. The adzikna anihu, but God says, I will be with you forever. The adseva ani esbol. Ani asiti vani eseh. God will carry you. The animals have to carry the Avodah Zarah, but in place of that, God carries the Jewish people. It's a nice little contrast. I want to also point out that this idea of the animals having to whisk away and carry the idols out is also a direct polemic against the Babylonian religion. The Babylonian religion had a major, holiday, what we call the Rosh Hashanah of the Babylonian religion, which was called Akitu. Akitu, it's still practiced in some of the Assyrian small minority communities. So here's Akitu from Wikipedia. It was a 12-day holiday, and it started in Nisan. And in this holiday, there would be a recreation of the creation myth of the Babylonian religion. There would be a restoration of the king to his proper place, and there would be a entreaties to Marduk and the gods. So what for me is interesting for our purpose is the ninth day. After they, you know, so to speak, played out the recreation myth, on the ninth day, on this day, a large procession was held with the king and the gods adorned with gold and precious stones. There was a big procession where they took out all of the idols out of the temple and paraded them out and brought them back. This was one of the only times of the year. Remember, the temples in Babylon were off limits to the average person. This was the only time that they saw the gods, the Avodah Zarah, the idols. And it's this day, Marduk, on the 10th day, began celebrating his victory alongside the other gods. He returned to the capital to perform a ritual marriage ceremony. The gods return to the temple, accompanied by their lord Marduk, to meet again in the Destinies Hall, where they met for the first time on the 8th day, and this time they will decide the fate of the people of Marduk. So, basically, on the 12th day, it was believed that the gods returned to the temple. So this whole parading of the gods is like a major element of the Rosh Hashanah festival every year of Babylonia. And so there may be here a direct polemic of that eventually the gods will be paraded, but not out of any celebration, but rather they'll have to quickly be loaded up onto carts with animals and have to run out to run away. And they won't even, karsu, karu yachtav lo yuchlu maleit masa. They won't even be able to escape because it's so weighted down. V'nafsham bashevi halacha. The gods will be taken into captivity. Okay. And in contrast, God will carry the Jewish people. And now it continues, this theme of, the God, again, the polemic against the gods of Babylon. Lemita damyuni v'tashvu, how you can you compare me? V'tamshiluni v'nidme, hazalim zahav mikis, v'kesef bakane yishkolu. How can you compare God to the gods that, you know, have to be created by the artisans? They carry them, yisau al katef yisbelu v'yanichu tachtav. They carry the gods. Again, I think this is a a shtach to the procession. They carry these gods on their shoulder. Then they go and put them back into the temple. V'yamod mimkomo lo yamish. They don't move again for another year. Af yitzak elav lo yaneh. You cry out to these gods, they don't answer. Mitzarato lo yoshienu. They don't save you from your trouble. These gods are static. They don't exist. They don't do anything. They simply sit there deaf and dumb. Zichru zot v'it osheshu. Hashivu poshim alev. Zichru rushonot me'olam. Remember the past. Kenochi el vein od Elohim v'efes kamoni. I am the God who predicted the future. Again, the same theme. Magid mereshit acharit. Umikedem asher lo nasu. Omar atzati takum v'chol chefzi. I'm the one who predicted the future. I'm the one who therefore can say this is what should be and this is what will be. Korei mimizrach ait. I call from the east. Persia is east of Babylon. I call the vulture from the east. Me eretz mirchak ish atzati. I call from a distant land. My ish atzati. The person who I consult, who I give guidance to, af dibarti, af avienu, yatzarti, af aesenu. I created him, I brought him, and this is what's going to happen. Shimu elai abirei lev haruchokim mitztaka, keiravti tzidkati lo tirchak. I've brought close my Yeshua. Tzidkati here means my redemption. Uteshuati lo teacher. Notice the parallel. Tzidkati teshuati, it will be not long in coming. Vinatati b'tzion teshua li Yisrael tifarti. I will give redemption, will be brought to Zion, and I will give glory to Israel. So these two prakim are a direct statement that Koresh will be the vehicle of God's redemption of Israel. Koresh is my shepherd. Koresh is my anointed one. Cyrus is not being guided by Enlil. He's not being guided by Marduk. He's not being guided by Bel. He's not being guided by Nevo. He's being guided by God, who has called him from the east in order to bring the redemption of Israel for the purpose of that he will know Leman Teda Keni Hashem Bekerav Aretz, for the purpose of Israel knowing God and recognizing God, and for the purpose of the whole world knowing and recognizing God. Two very direct, sharp, explicit prakim. Emir Tzashem, next week we will continue and we'll go into chapter 47 and 48 in this journey of redemption that is unfolding before us in Yeshayahu in these prakim. I wish everybody a Shabbat Shalom a wonderful week.
Thank you.
Kol tov, everybody.
Thank you. That was excellent. Shabbat shalom.
Okay. Kol tov. Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.